really just going to give you the gist of this lesson. Those of us who have been here for Bible class and then the worship hour, and like a couple of us, we went out for lunch together. And by the time I took Christine home, it was just time to drop her off and come back for the singing. Then we sang for an hour and a half, and then we had an hour of friendship, fellowship, and food. Enjoyed that. Now it's time for evening assembly, and so I think we'll just kind of give it a little devotional message, and you have the notes, but hopefully I can introduce it or just kind of fill in a few blanks for you to get the thought that's across. We'll talk about forgiveness or forgiving others especially. Just kind of say by way of introduction, it's easy to forgive and forget when someone mistakenly steps on our toes going to their seat. You know, they say, "I'm sorry," or "excuse me," and we do. You know, many with a lot of they're insignificant, but just we've got littler things in life. We're very quick to forgive. Oh, sure, excuse me, certainly. But it's not as easy when there's a long established trust that's been betrayed, or a phone rings when you're preaching. You know, those are not easy to forgive. Sometimes actions were taken that cause a very deep and prolonged hurt in your life. And you go, "Oh my." Or when something done to us has been very harsh, or we might say overly critical, unjustified in our mind, unexpected. You know, we almost ask the question, "Can I forgive that?" Certainly, if you just cross in front of me or bump me in the aisle way, "Excuse me," certainly. Very quick. Oh, yes. What about these other times? So now we have to forgive. We have to remit punishment. By definition, sin is remit the punishment due to sinful conduct. We don't punish. It's complete removal of the cause of the offense. If you forgive, as God does for us, one definition was just you let it loose. You release, dismiss, or remit, remission, remit. So by looking at God's actions toward us, I don't have these all in your notes, but even in the familiar verse that we quoted many times at the invitation, Acts 2 verse 38, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." The remission? Almost they might want to cry out, "God, you don't know what we've done. How horrible. How many times we've committed our crimes, or how often." No, repent, be baptized for the remission, the let going, the dismissal, the release from God. Peter said in his sermon in Acts 3, verse 19, to an audience that's gathered there, he says, "Repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins might be blotted out." Blotted out. They're gone. You know, in that time, the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So when God forgives, look at the things that He does. They're gone. In Hebrews 8, verse 12, He says, "Y'all remember your sins, your iniquities no more." So when we come to God on God's terms, it's finished. It's over. God doesn't hold it against us. I just put an illustration in your notes, the familiar story of I put Luke 17. It's a 15? It's a typo, isn't it? I think it's Luke 15. For some reason, it's just now dawning. I have typed 17, but that doesn't sound familiar. But Luke 15. A man had two sons, you know, and one lived a very prodigal life. You know, and he look at what he done, that the Bible describes it there. He wasted his substance in riotous living. Wow, now, you know, we don't have that described, but yet look what he's done. How horrible. You've wasted, not just wasted, but it was riotous living. And so then he repents and returns home, and when he's afar off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, falls on his neck and kisses him. In verse 32, it says, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad." Necessary. An obligation when the son comes home from riotous living. Oh, how could you? But the father receives them. This might tells the other brother, this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but he's found. Make merry when someone comes back. In Luke, and now I have Luke 17, verses 3 through 5. That's the one I have in your notes. Luke 17, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. But if he repent, forgive him. If he repents, forgive him. If he trespassed against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent. Thou shalt forgive him. The demands, the obligations we have in our relationship to one another, to a brother who comes back. So just put in your notes, why would I want to do that? Why should I be so gracious and forgiving? Why would I be generous? This brother has wasted, riotous living. Now that's pretty, they think that was pretty bad, but they come back. Well, number one's the command. Command. Forgiving one another in Colossians 3. Second reason, like I said, I'll just kind of hit some of the highlights of these. Second, it follows the example of Christ. Colossians 3, verse 13. Next verse. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Look what we've done. And yet, God says, I forgive. It's not held against us. It's not, I'm going to keep getting you for that. No, it's forgiven. Forgiven. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be, the verse that we read this morning for our scripture reading, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, the mercies, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So follow his steps. What did God and Jesus do? So number three, because I've been forgiven. Ephesians 4, verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And we end our prayers, typically, after we say it, right before we say, in Jesus' name, amen, we many times will say, forgive me of my sins. Yeah. Meaning, you know, the things that I've outwardly said and done, the opportunities that I haven't taken, the things that I've forgotten to do, forgive me of all these things that I've said and done or maybe intended to do and didn't do. Forgive me. Yeah. So now what if a brother does that, the things that we just did? Forgive. We're asking God, forgive me of what I've done. Well, now my brother's done the same things. What are we supposed to do? Forgive him. Forgive. So I've been forgiven. That's why we need to forgive others. Because I want, the last one kind of followed with, because I want to keep being forgiven. You know, I'm going to mess up again. You know, even when in our speech to one another, we have to keep being reminded of things. You know, I'm reminded all the time of things that I need to do. I'm married. There's things that just, Christine doesn't just tell me once and then, okay, said and done. You don't have to say, don't have to mention that again the rest of our life. No. There are reminders. Even Hebrews 10, verse 23, you know, the assembling of ourselves together. Why? To provoke one another to love and good works. So even the Bible recognizes there are occasions and times we need to keep reminding each other of the very obligation that we have. So one purpose of our assembly, not only to give God our worship and praise, but to encourage each other with our frailties. So the next part of your lesson, I just simply made the statement, y'all help me, teach me to be a forgiving person. So if we were having a class situation, this is perhaps the way the discussion would go. Someone said, well, Brian, how do I develop that kind of attitude? I want to be forgiving, certainly. Well, number one, just remember the effect that unforgiveness has on you. You know, the one that's horribly wronged us, maybe they're not penitent. They may not even be aware of the feeling that we have toward them. It's not affecting them. They don't know how much it hurt what they said or what they've done unless I've told them. You know, I'm the one that's continually upset. I'm the one that's hard to live with now. I'm the one that's kind of off my needed task because I'm not forgiving. The It may be beyond our ability to fix it, or to right the wrong, or to repair or replace. But when you've, I mean, I know you have, you've complained to someone and they've probably even said to you, let it go. Let it go. Well, that's forgiveness. Let it go. What they're saying too is, look at what this is doing to you. Let it go. The person that's wronged you may not want to repent or hasn't repented. It's not in their mind. So let it go. It's their problem now. You may have to live with this unjust situation, but don't continue living your life with malice and bitterness. Forgive. Let it go. So just number one, if I'm teaching someone and they're coming to me and say, Brian, well, how can I be forgiving? Look what unforgiving is doing to you. Number two. It's easier to forgive when I realize how greatly I've been forgiven. That's right. I'm not going to list my sins in this situation, but just know that, you know, I've messed up. Yeah. But God forgives. That's His promise. And that's why we end our prayers. Forgive me of my sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep. Number three, ask for God's help or pray. You know, first, I put this verse in your notes, but 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. So you pray in the situation. Help me to be forgiving. People that we're at odds with, they've been harsh and critical, just horrible. And I need help in forgiving them. So pray. Practice praying. Even pray. Oh, God, I'm not very good at forgiving. Can you help me in this? You can practice praying for the offender. Still in all things, you know, as Jesus prayed in the garden, Thy will be done. I put number four and list the aid of others. Others may have gone through a similar situation. So I want to know, brother or sister, what did you do to develop this attitude of forgiveness? You know, your relationship with them seems so genuine and kind and gracious. How did you get there? You know, what worked and what didn't work? How did others help you? So I want other people to help me become forgiving. What was your thinking through all of this time when there was this turmoil and upsetting situation? I need help, and so I'm not only asking God to help me, but I'm asking you to help me because I see that you've gone through this recently with a situation in your life. What did you do? Help me. Ask others to pray for you, just as you're praying for yourselves. Ask them to listen to you. As you give you encouraging words. Help me. That's what you're saying to someone else. I'm having trouble forgiving, and so I pray to God, help me to be forgiving. I'm having trouble with it, but ask others. Number five, pray for an understanding heart. Solomon did this. He was going to be king in 1 Kings 3, verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Yes, so Solomon has all of these people, and look at the people I have to get along with or judge. You need, God, give me an understanding heart to discern between the good and the bad. Help me. So when it comes to that, help me to be forgiving. You know, I don't have all the answers here, but hopefully that can give you a start. And then just a couple final thoughts, because people always ask these last questions or situations, how often? Familiar verse, Matthew 18, verse 21. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? It's kind of like our situation today, three strikes. And so Peter's doubled it and added one. Seven times? Yeah, three strikes and you're out. No. So Peter's kind of, like I say, doubling that in one. Seven? How about if I forgive seven times? Is that enough? Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Just the idea, you must, if they repent, you forgive them. You forgive. Easier said than done. The next one is, someone says, you all forgive, but I can't forget. That's just a frailty of the flesh. That's just on us. I can't forget. And I can't. And when I think about the harsh words or the criticism or whatever, that's the old phrase that children sing, sticks and stones can break my bones. Words will never hurt me. Oh, words. I remember the words more than I remember the sticks and stones. The words. And depending on the situation, whenever I see that person, I'm reminded of what's happened. I am. I can't forget. I may have forgiven, and I still try to get along with that person if that's the situation, but I can't forget what they said. Especially if it's in that situation, I felt like they turned against me. Like they've forsaken me. They've forgotten me. Just shoved me aside. When they repented, yes, I forgave them. But I can't forget. So now my prayer is for God to help me to have a good mental wastebasket. God, help me learn from this. Help me not to harbor resentment that hurts me. That's what the prayer is now. And we do that with ourselves. I make a mistake. I just say, God, I don't want to do that again. But even sometimes I can't forget what I said or even what I did with myself. So my prayer is not forgive me now. But my prayer now is, God, help me put it in the right place. I can't forget what I've done. My crime was too horrible, perhaps. I'm so sorry for what I said. So now, God, help me put it in the right place. And if I do forget, Christine reminds me. I've forgotten that. Oh, oops, there it came back. Now I remember, Christine reminds me. Yeah, so just in closing, I just put, yes, it's easier to preach this sermon than to practice it. Yes, it is. But God is really good at forgiveness when we come to Him His way. We need to believe that. What God has promised He'll do. And if He says, I'll forget it, it's forgotten. So when you're forgiven, quit bringing it back up into God's mind. He's forgotten it. Don't remind Him. Now your problem is with just simply say, God, thank you for your forgiveness now to help me put it in the right place. Help me. Thank you for your forgiveness, but I can't forget it. Help me forget now. Help me forget. So that's the lesson. There's perhaps more to be said, but that's just the idea, and you have the notes, and perhaps it'll stir some thoughts or some study, but just some thinking, some meditation. Just kind of review that. Always when we assemble on Sunday, or when we assemble for worship after the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you're here this evening, I'm a member of the New Testament Church. If you know what to do, to be baptized for remission of sins, that's the invitation we extend. We can help you with that if you'll just let your request be known. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Ron has selected for us. And again, if that's your resolve, please come over singing this song. I can't remember the name. Forgive me.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. I look upon His face. takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace.